Hey everyone, welcome to the Delta Flyer with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are my fellow Trek actor, who also portrayed the role of Kevin Corrigan on the feature film adaptation of Masters of the Universe, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, your favorite Forever Ensign, Garrett Wong.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Yes.
How are you? Kevin Corrigan.
That was your character's name.
Yes, it was. Kevin.
Yeah.
Courtney Cox yelled that a lot.
She did yell that. Kevin. And by the way, you know, when I pulled up Masters of the Universe on Wikipedia and they say starring, your name is not in the starring thing, which really annoyed me because
it annoys me too.
You're on the poster. On the poster is Dolph Lundgren, your character, Courtney Cox's character, and in the background is Frank Langella as, you know, Skeletor. Yeah. But there's no any other character on that poster, and yet you're not in the starring.
Here's the thing. I had just left school. I hadn't done very much at all.
Okay.
And I had gotten on a soap opera, and the first year on the soap opera, I got this movie and I was like, oh my God, I'm right out. I was in school a year ago and now I'm on a soap and I've got a movie.
Oh my God.
But my agent had never done a movie deal before. He had just become an agent like 2 years before. In fact, he was the receptionist at the agency and he said to me, hey, I'll be your agent. I know I'm not an agent yet, but I'll be. And I was like, great. Cause we were both from Atlanta. We knew mutual friends.
Yeah.
Anyway. So a lot had happened in a year or two. I had no agent. Then I had this receptionist agent. Then he became an agent I got on All My Children.
Yeah.
And then I got this movie.
Yeah.
But I was his first TV actor ever on the soap. I was his first movie deal ever.
Wow.
I was like the first for him in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't realize that in movies, it's called paid ads when your name is on the poster.
Mm.
And they didn't want to give me paid ads as part of my contract.
Oh.
And he was like, you know, I don't think it's a big deal. It's just for the paid ads. It's just for, you know, when they, he didn't think it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And when the movie came out, my name's not on the poster.
Ugh.
My name's not anywhere. And I was like, that just doesn't seem right because I had a lot to do.
Courtney
and I both were.
I would say you two are leads, the two young leads in the film.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, obviously He-Man and the main, you know, Skeletor.
Skeletor was big. And there were some other big characters.
Yeah.
Man-at-Arms.
Man-at-Arms. Mm-hmm.
And James Tolkien played the detective.
Mm-hmm.
He was great. He had done a ton of movies.
Yeah.
So he has paid ads.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that played Man-at-Arms has paid ads.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have that. So my name is never, ever in the history going to be on the poster.
Well, if you look further down and you hit cast, if you actually click on the cast thing, then it shows the complete cast there. And you're listed there, but not in the main thing, which annoys me.
Yeah, it annoys me too, because Courtney and I both had, I would argue, equal large roles.
Yes.
Very equal.
Yes.
And yet, you know, she's always going to be, it's going to look like I'm a supporting character and
definitely,
she's a star.
Definitely.
You know, the way the credits are anyway.
Right. But I still, that is
you
still
live,
one of
learn.
My, yes, but that's one of my, you know, one of my films that I loved when I was younger, and so I've talked about this before when I first met you outside of hair and makeup trailer. I was like, oh, it's him. He's from Masters of the Universe. It's him. So it's Kevin Corrigan. So that was huge for me. I fanboyed over you before
that's
you even
funny.
Knew, basically when you met me. So that was, so
funny.
That was that. What I didn't realize is Gary Goddard is the director of that feature film.
Yes.
Go ahead. You're going to say the only.
It's the only film he ever directed.
Okay.
And he went on to create the Star Trek Experience.
Yes, they did that. Yes, that's right.
They did the experience. Mm-hmm. They also did the Terminator 3D mm-hmm. experience at Universal Studios.
Yep.
Yeah. Gary's company was more, their specialty was theme park experiences yeah. Yeah. and toys. They would create toy concepts.
Yeah. And they did a great job. I'll say that with the Star Trek experience, it was amazing.
It, really it was amazing. Was. So Gary's Absolutely. Company was very successful in the theme park world, but his movie directing career was brief. It was just this one movie. So
wow.
One other thing I want to mention before we get into the intro and get into it.
Our contest. So
our contest, we're having a Halloween costume contest. Mm-hmm. We talked about it last week. I just want to remind everybody to get your pictures. Here's what you need to do. You have to submit a photo of you, your kids, your pet, whoever it is, in a Star Trek related costume. You've got to have a sign that says hashtag TDF for the Delta Flyers in the photo, so we know it's for this contest and it's recent.
Yes.
You can email to thedeltaflyers at gmail.com. That's THEDELTAFLYERS, mm-hmm. the Delta Flyers at Gmail, and get it in by November 3rd. Yep. That's the deadline. We're going to have three winners, most creative, most realistic, and cutest. And we'll announce it on the podcast and our social media. Mm-hmm. You get an autographed photo from Garrett and myself.
A photo of Kevin Corrigan. I mean, yes. who wouldn't want that?
So don't forget, November 3rd is the deadline. Get your photos. We want to see all these great Star Trek related costumes. Be creative, yes. have fun, and send us in some pictures.
I'm excited for that. I think that's going to be really cool to see.
It'll be fun.
All the entries. Okay. So this week's episode is Pathfinder. So we will go watch this and we'll be right back with our recap and discussion of Pathfinder for all of our Patreon patrons. Please stay tuned for your bonus material. Robbie and I are back from watching Pathfinder. Woo!
Wow!
I like this episode personally. So I know your criteria is you want to see everybody in it throughout the whole thing, but we're all in it towards the end, you know.
Yeah.
And just off the bat, they had put an offer out to Marina season one, I think, of Voyager, one or two, because they wanted her on an episode. That was a Harry episode, and they wanted her to be part of that. I was bummed because I really wanted to be able to interact and act with one of the TNG actors. I was super stoked. And then, of course, season six, she accepted. So and it's obviously it's not a Harry episode really this time, but at least we were able to get Marina for one episode of Voyager. So that was cool. All right, so let's just start off with our poetry synopsis.
Yes,
here's my haiku. Reg has a theory. Call Voyager through wormhole. Paris hears from Dad. That's it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
You got it there. You covered
it.
Yeah,
more or less. More or less. All right. Let's hear the limerick.
Here's our limerick synopsis for Pathfinder. Reg is obsessed with Voyager and its crew. He has a plan to open a communication avenue. He's not deterred by anything, and turns out Neelix can't sing. Finally, contact is established. Reginald Barclay came through.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say that Rebecca had something to do with this because the inclusion of Neelix. She loves Phillips.
Loves the Neelix.
She loves the Neelix. So
yeah, she does.
There you go. Good job. All right.
Teleplay by David Zabel and Kenneth Biller. Story by David Zabel. And directed by Mike Vahar. A couple of things about these guys. David Zabel and Ken Biller, I think, went to college together.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh.
And David Zabel also was an ER writer, executive producer, maybe. He was a big ER guy. Oh. David Zabel ended up becoming a very successful showrunner and executive producer. Okay. But I think this was early for him, like early-ish.
Yeah.
That he got this. And I think it's because he and Ken, from what I could see, may have gone to college together. So
wow. There you go. I did not know that.
Yeah.
How did you find that out? Did you know that at
the time? The internet's web.
The interwebs?
Oh. The interwebs is very handy. Let's get to Mike Vahar, though. I love Mike Vahar. Love this director. I always found him to be just such a gentle spirit and good, smart, thoughtful director. So I had to do his first job. So, like we do with the actors.
Oh, okay.
I had to look it up.
You're giving Mike Vahar special treatment here. Special treatment. We don't look at directors' first jobs, but now you did because of Mike. Okay.
I did. Mike Vahar's first directing job was on the original Fantasy Island.
Stop.
No.
Yes. No, that's not possible. He did not look that old when he directed for us.
He retired right after our show. He retired. What? Yeah, I remember when Mike retired.
Really?
Yeah, Mike had grown up in L.A. He had bought like a big loft or something in Venice Beach because I live near Venice.
Yeah.
I remember he and I talked and he was like, yeah, I moved to Venice in the 70s when nobody was there.
And nobody touched it back then.
Now he's like, now
it's a place to be. Yeah.
I'm about to retire and I'm going to sell this place and I can't believe what people are going to
pay for
Yeah, I think he bought this loft building or something for, you know, $100,000 and he was selling it for like $5 million something. It was insane. So I'm not worried about Mike Vahar. He did fine.
Okay.
Fantasy Island was his first.
I can't believe that. And I used to, did you watch that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Cause I religious, it would be Love Boat first and then Fantasy Island would come on afterwards. Yeah. I'd watch them both. And I love
Aaron Spelling TV.
Oh my gosh.
So he directed that early on. I think he directed 6 or 8 episodes of Fantasy Island over the years.
Okay.
I went even deeper into Mike Vahar's career. I was like, how did he get in showbiz? I knew he had been an editor.
Yes.
His first showbiz job was on the original Mission Impossible. He was the post coordinator. And that was Phil Morris, who we just talked to
his
recently.
Father's show.
His father's show, Greg Morris. Greg and Morris. Also Leonard Nimoy was on the original Mission Impossible.
Yes, I remember that. Right.
So Vahar has a couple of Star Trek connections through his first job ever in the business on Mission Impossible back in 1967 or 68 or 64,
gosh,
whatever year it was.
Wow.
That's Mike Vahar. I had to do a deep dive because I love him so much. He's an awesome director.
Good research. Good.
You're welcome. Okay, here we go. Guest star wise, we've got Dwight Schultz, who plays Barkley. Been on our show before. His very first job, if I didn't mention it the first time around, was a movie called Thin Ice with Kate Jackson.
Oh.
And
Charlie's Angels. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was about a teacher-student scandal, like a college student and a professor or something. Kate Jackson falls in love with a professor. Dwight Schultz was in that. I don't know what he did, but
was he the student maybe?
No, I don't. Okay. I think he had a very small role, but
okay,
that was his first job that I could find.
Gotcha.
We also had Richard Hurd, who played Owen Paris, Admiral Paris. May he rest in peace.
So yes.
He passed away in 2020. Richard Hurd plays Admiral Paris and he made his film debut in a 1970 comedy called Hercules. It was shot in New York. Oh. That was Richard Hurd's first movie was Hercules. Guess who else made their debut in this movie?
Oh, no.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. Yes. Oh, my God. So it's a comedic feature film.
Yes.
Called Hercules that Richard Hurd was in. And Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh my gosh.
Both made their feature film debuts in 1970 in that. Yep.
That's tremendous. I love that.
We had Pete Harkins, who was the the tough boss. Commander Harkins.
Played by Richard McGonagall is his name. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
McGonagall, yes.
Yeah.
He made his debut in acting on General Hospital, the daytime soap opera.
Yes.
In around 1978 or 79. Not sure, but he did a bunch of that.
Yeah, okay.
A bunch of General Hospitals.
Yeah.
Marina Sirtis, of course, came on. Her very first job was a movie called Raffles. I think it was a TV movie over in England, actually, about a jewel thief. And that was in 1977 was her first job.
Wow.
Raffles. Yes.
Okay.
And we had a couple of other small roles that are credited. So I'm going to go ahead and read them. There's a security guard who comes in and as part of the chasing down Dwight Schultz, I think. Victor Bevan is the actor's name.
Okay.
He was in A Separate Piece, 1972, World War II coming of age movie.
Yeah, that's based on a novel, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Separate Piece. And then we have a technician who I think was in the Starfleet laboratory. He had a line or something. We're picking up. There's a call coming in.
That gentleman.
That's Mark Daniel Cade.
Yes.
And his first job was on All My Children, the daytime soap that
you were on. Yeah.
But he came after me. He came in 1989. Okay. He did 10 episodes. Oh. I was before that. We just missed each other. Mark Daniel Cade, though. Okay, that's it. That's all.
Wait, what year did you leave All My Children then? 88.
Yeah, so I just missed him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. All right. Well, that puts it all into my.
There you go.
I was just trying to figure that out. I thought All My Children was more recent, as in the 90s, early 90s. No.
85 to 88.
Wow. Because you were still in Juilliard then.
Yeah, I was 19 or 20 years old when I started on All My Children. I think I was 20. I think I just turned 20 or turned 20 when I started. So
you were very young.
I was a baby.
And then that's also when Masters happened as well, right?
Yeah.
I was 20 then too?
Yeah. I was, yeah. That came late. Yeah. Yeah. When it came out, I was 21, but I think I shot it when I was 20. Yeah.
God, I wish I had a time machine.
It's crazy.
I'll go back and find you then.
Those were crazy days. Crazy days. Okay, let's get into this. A couple things I want to say about this episode. This was the very last episode that aired in the 90s that we made, Pathfinder.
Oh, okay. So
it aired in December of 1999.
Oh my goodness. I did not know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And there is a photo in this episode of yours truly.
Yes, there
that
is.
That we'll talk about.
Okay, we'll talk about it when we get to it.
Definitely complicates the conspiracy theory of who Tom Paris is, but we'll get to it.
Okay, so let's start off from the beginning. We're in Barclay's apartment, condo, townhome, which it's is beautiful, by the way. I would not mind living there. That looked very nice. It was a very nice place.
By the way, that set to me when I saw it, I thought, oh, they just went to the Paramount Scenic Shop and said, oh, give us those brick flats and that cement thing and give us some, like, it was very pretty, but I could tell as I looked at it that they had pieced that together from recycled other pieces of sets.
Oh, okay.
Like you could see the brick flats and the window flats, and even the backing that was outside of his window was a contemporary, like, city backing that they had literally just added one sci-fi building. They might have done it in post.
Huh.
They added it was basically the rental stuff that they put in Barclay's apartment, but it was very pretty. It was very well decorated and it was nice.
Yeah.
Barclay's apartment. Yes.
Yeah. Barclay's apartment. Beautiful. Barclay is a little bit scatterbrained as
he's very nervous.
He's very nervous. There's a knock at the door. He's trying to clean up. It's Counselor Troy and they both are wearing the newer Starfleet uniforms that the Deep Space Nine actors ended up wearing, and with the gray on top, which I like. Yep. I do like
that. Yeah. Kind of the quilted look that thing. Yeah,
I do like that. We learn that he has a cat named Neelix in the scene. So that is also a nice little fact there. But he's basically said that he's lost himself. He's become obsessed with Voyager, and he's asked Counselor Troy to come over to help counsel him, help get him past this obsession. He's been taken off the Pathfinder project, so he's a little despondent at the time.
We end that first scene with him going, I'm obsessed with Voyager. I can't stop thinking about it.
Correct.
And then we have the intro. Opening credits, which I watched again this time. They're so good.
I did too. And you know what's really interesting is that now we have a cat, right? So we have a cat named Bubbles. Mm-hmm. And Bubbles came up and curled up on my lap and was sitting there as I'm doing the review of this episode. And the minute the theme music for Voyager came on, that cat was completely asleep. Just head came up staring at the screen, listening to the theme music. Oh, it was unbelievable. And then the minute the music stopped, the cat went right back down, and that was it. And now this further corroborates my belief that our theme music is the most moving of all theme musics. It's for all the Star Trek.
It's good. It's a good
theme. Yeah, it's super good, because I've had fans come up to me and say, yes, our infant son, when he's crying and just, you know, throwing a fit, the only thing that will stop him is the Voyager theme music. Voyager
theme? No way.
It's unbelievable. So the Voyager theme music, it speaks to young children and it speaks to pets as well. I mean, it moves all types of living organisms.
And, agreed.
You know, in the world. So
it's just a universal, amazing sound.
It is. It is. Okay. So we're back from the intro and we're still in his apartment. And yep. Troy basically asks him to start from the beginning because he gives this long, complicated technical explanation of what's going on.
Right? He's got to direct a tachyon beam to a class B itinerant pulsar, and then gravimetric energy, and then this and that. And then I'll have a wormhole, an artificial wormhole.
She's like,
oh. I was like, what?
Yeah. So he says, okay, from the very beginning, it starts in the holodeck. And she's like, as it always does, right? Yeah. So, but we learned from this episode that he had a holodeck addiction, you know, a holo addiction.
I know, I did. He had a holo addiction. I didn't.
Huge. Because I've always, you know, we've never talked about that on the show, right? We never talk about anyone having a holo addiction. But if you think about it, boy, that is the ultimate escape. Because whenever someone chooses, you know, drugs addiction, or alcohol, addiction for to escape.
To numb life or numb to get life, away from life. Yep.
A holodeck program is the ultimate numbing of life. You just completely get away from it. And it's amazing that this episode brought that up. So I thought that was a good thing.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you look at Barclay, how he's dressed.
Yes.
His top, the jacket's open.
It is open, yes.
It's a little rumpled. Mm-hmm. It's a little, and so whenever you see a Star Trek character in their uniform, but the jacket is open, you know that they're a bit of a mess.
Yes.
You know that
they're going through some problems.
Going through issues. Something.
Yeah.
It's all about the wardrobe.
It is.
And he was in, he was doing the open jacket, my life is a mess version of costume.
Oh my gosh. You're so right.
Then we go to the bridge and we realize pretty quickly it's a simulation. It's got to be a simulation because Barclay's alone on the Voyager bridge.
Right.
So he's running the simulation. And he's trying to run through a few of the ideas that he has when Commander Harkins enters and says, hey, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And Barclay says, well, I'm just, you know, trying some ideas, running a simulation here. And then Harkins says, hey, you had some transmitter diagnostics you had to do. Why don't you go do that data analysis? And and Barclay's like, oh, no, I can finish them later. And Harkin says, no, you know, Admiral Paris is coming first thing in the morning. so we drop that bomb that Admiral Paris is going to be in here.
So when you heard that, were you like, oh.
Yes, I was.
It caught your attention, right?
It did catch my attention.
Good, good. Yes, so he's coming in the morning. They exit the holodeck and Barclay wants to share his theory with the Admiral. And as they're walking into other parts of the laboratory, I'm going to call it the Pathfinder Lab, I guess. That's the best.
Okay, good. I just kept calling it Starfleet Lab.
So. I wrote Starfleet Headquarters for a while. Then I said, you know what? Let me just call it Pathfinder Lab. So, you know, Barclay says that they can establish a two-way communications with Voyager by creating this artificial wormhole. And the way that he would do it is utilizing the Midas array. They can direct a tachyon beam at a pulsar that seems to be coming close to this Midas array to produce this gravimetric surge, which would be powerful enough to create an artificial wormhole. And his boss, Harkins, thinks this is a lunatic idea. Like, this would never work ever. Mm-hmm. And
well, he says you wasted 6 months trying to develop this transwarp probe.
Yeah.
And so he hasn't gained Harkin's trust, really.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. He has not. And we're back at Barclay's station in the lab. There's a little bit of passage of time and he's alone. And Pete comes in, Pete Harkins, and he says, I'm inviting you. I want you to come by my house. He's trying to set him up with his sister-in-law, essentially. Yeah. And
by the way, he says, oh, we've got my wife's sister's coming in from Boston and there's someone you might like.
And the reaction shot on Dwight Schultz, all the facial mugging that happens there. He's like,
oh my God.
He looks disgusted, doesn't he? He looks like
panicking. He's like, his face was going crazy. He was having a complete panic attack, but he says he's spending an evening with Neelix, his cap.
Yeah, because I'm busy with Neelix. He's like, am I? Correct me if I'm wrong, but that is your cat, isn't it? And so, mm-hmm. yeah, he has no friends. And it's sad. Yeah. He's friendless, basically. So
yeah, it is very sad. We go to the mess hall now. So he comes off of that like panic moment and mm-hmm. and that insecure, like no confidence. He can't even speak words hardly.
No.
Then we cut to the simulation of the mess hall and he walks into the mess hall and it's like he's the captain of the football team or something.
He's the big man on campus.
Hey, his arms are up in the air. Everybody's like, Barclay, Barclay. And it was so funny. And by the way, we're all dressed. So we're all there and we're all dressed. Our hairstyle, our costume, everything is like the pilot. We look like back in the day. So B'Elanna and Chakotay are in their Maquis outfits. Tom and Harry both have their hair styled kind of like different. The pilot.
Yeah.
And we're joining Barclay to play cards. I guess we've been playing poker with him.
That's right.
And he's winning every game.
Yeah. He's the poker pro. So yeah. He says, oh, and Harry knows his easy.
Harry knows his drink, by the way.
Yes. Warm milk, right?
Warm. Yes. He's like Harry goes the usual or something like that. And he goes, yeah, the usual. And Harry orders it. Replicator, computer, a glass of warm milk.
So hey, that should be a future one of your, when you do your little things of your drink
cocktail
mixes.
Video?
Yeah, it should just be warm milk one day.
Warm milk,
This is the Barclay special that I'm going to provide for everybody. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, and he is the big man on campus when he's in the holodeck simulation because he's completely at home, completely, he feels so comfortable. In this holodeck simulation with the Voyager characters.
Mm-hmm. They talk about the poker game. Everybody's saying, we got to win our money back. You're the card shark.
Yeah.
And at the end, it kind of turns surprisingly sweet because he goes, I want you guys to win as much as you do. He goes, because you're my friends.
Because you are my best friends.
You are my best friends. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was very sweet. It was sad.
Sweet and sad. Exactly. Because those are his friends, the imaginary people, basically, right? So we'd now cut to Reg's apartment where he cannot sleep. He's just, he has insomnia. So guess what? He gets up and heads straight back to the lab, to the holodeck. And he now enters the sick bay where the doctor is massaging him and he's getting advice from the doctor.
He's getting like the choppers at first.
He's got the chop at first. And then I'm watching the doctor do his second move, which is just kind of, I don't know. He's just kind of, it's not a real massage move, I think.
No.
But it was Bob's best attempt at being a masseuse. And it, I love that part where Bob... He's doing the elbow. He's doing the elbow move into Barclay, but he's leaning his.
That is not an official masseuse move.
That's not an official masseuse move. And also probably not directed by Mike Vahar. My guess is that was Bob Picardo. Oh, come on. Bob always comes up with the most creative and most comically subtle as he can be, right? Comically choices that he can get. Mm-hmm. And that was funny. I laughed. I LOL'd on that point for sure.
Yeah. But the doctor does say that he's got acute work-related anxiety. Mm-hmm. And the doctor says, I'll talk to the captain.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, don't talk to the captain.
Right.
Doctor says, but Barclay, you're an invaluable member of this crew.
Mm-hmm.
And he pauses. And again, it's a sweet moment. Barclay said, it's nice to be appreciated.
Yeah.
Because he's not feeling that from Harkin and back home. He's feeling like he's a failure and everything's going wrong. But on this simulation, everybody appreciates him.
Yeah.
We cut to the hallway next and he's walking down the hall and Chakotay says, hey, Reg. And then somebody else goes by, an extra or something. Hey, Reg. So he feels very much at home.
Yeah. He goes straight to his holo quarters.
Goes to his holo quarters, lays down, and now he can sleep like
he sleeps there. It's like, reminded me of all the nights I slept in my trailer while filming.
At work.
at work. That's what he's doing. So the next morning, when he's got plenty of sleep, he re-enters the hollow mess hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote down, Reg is the man. He comes in there and Harry's like, oh my gosh, Reg, if you have time, can you whip up one of your famous cheese omelets? And Tom's also like, yeah, that sounds great. but he can't. He's busy. He has things to do. And then Harry says, look, Reg, remember, you're supposed to teach me how to play Velocity. And Tom's like, wait a minute. I have a hoverball appointment with Reg. Valana runs in there, needs help with a warp core recalibration. And again, Reg is like, sure, I'll help you when I have time. And it's just, he is the man. He's completely at ease with everything. He can speak without stuttering. He is the man in this scene.
Yep. Yeah, it's a fun scene.
Yeah.
Next, we go back to the Starfleet lab.
Yeah.
Or the base, I guess, part of the lab.
Pathfinder lab, yep.
Pathfinder lab. And so this is the briefing, and Commander Harkins is telling Admiral Paris, who's there, that the doctor's program was transferred to Starfleet 2 years ago.
Yes.
And they're looking at a map. The doctor's program was transferred to Starfleet 2 years ago when Voyager was at position 41751 grid 9. So they know kind of where they were at some point on their trip.
Right.
And so they've picked a range of ways that they could extrapolate and estimate where the ship may be if it was traveling at an average warp speed of 6.2. So a lot of kind of analysis of where Voyager might be, but they've narrowed it down to one of three sectors.
Yeah.
And Admiral Paris asks, can they contact them yet? And Harkins then says, well, they've been working with the Vulcans to deploy this Midas array, which is still in the testing phase.
Yeah.
But that can send signals at hyperlink subspace speeds. So it can
Cut down the time, but they still said it would take days for them to receive the transmission, is what they said.
So it would take days. Yeah. Instead of years, it would be days.
Days, which is an improvement, but still days.
And unfortunately, if they do this thing with the Vulcans, the Midas array, Voyager won't be able to respond.
Right.
So it's a one-way, thing. That's where they're at right now. But at least that they would know that Starfleet's looking for them. And they mention in this scene, they said, then they could send them the hypersubspace technology and hope they can eventually use that to return their call. So Barclay is just like jumping out of his skin. But when Harkin's saying that,
he interrupts
and he's like, he basically says, I have to speak. But then he starts to have a panic attack. And he can't think of like what warp is or what.
Well, he couldn't. Like, he couldn't think of the word singularity. He was a
singular. And then he looks at the extras and he's like, yeah.
And then Admiral Paris goes, a wormhole? And then I love when Dwight Schultz, he claps. He's like, yes, yes. It's like a game show. Yeah. You know, he's like, yes, 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 a wormhole.
Great scene with his really insecurity. His social anxiety, his sense of failure, totally opposite than on the holodeck with Starfleet. You know, really great, very well done.
Well done. And then when he says, you know, when he's still trying to plead for his case at the very end, Reg says, I think we're forgetting that there are 150 people stranded in the Delta Quadrant. And when he says that, that's when Admiral Paris gets very serious. And he goes, I have a son on that ship, Lieutenant. I haven't forgotten that fact for a single moment. And I started feeling the little vibes of like, oh my gosh, this is starting to move me now because let's face it. Your character has never had a really good relationship with his dad. Right.
No.
So at this moment.
And Tom doesn't think his father cares.
Exactly. Like,
he doesn't think his father cares about him at all.
No. And I think, you know, the reason why this episode got me so emotional was because you yourself also have similar, you know, rough upbringing in terms of your relationship with your own father, you know, so that combined with your character having that, I was feeling it, man. I had all the feels in this episode. It was crazy. So that really was a moving thing. But then Harkins is pissed. Harkins is so mad. He's like, no, you're taking the rest of the day off. This is not a suggestion. This is an order.
Yep.
Get out of here. Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Are we back at Barclay's apartment?
Yes. Yeah, we go back to Barclay's apartment and Troy's there.
Yeah.
And she asks how did he feel when that happened?
Yeah.
And how did he deal with his feelings? And Barclay, you know, basically he's evasive. He says he needed to do something. So he went back to the holodeck. He admits to Troy, I went back to the holodeck, and the only people that I can talk to are the people on the Voyager simulation.
Right.
And she says, you know, Reg, you're using this to escape.
Yeah.
And then he says, it's not what you think. It's not what you think, Deanna Troy. I'm not having a relapse of my holo addiction. Yeah. That's the first time he brings it up.
That's right. Well, I mean, he just says to her, these holograms are helping me with my work. Mm-hmm. They're helping me. You know, it's not that I'm trying to lose sense of all reality and find an escape. This is really helping me. That's his point, I think, in this scene.
And then we go to the briefing room and see how they're helping, because we kind of jump to a scene where he's talking to everyone about his ideas of this communication. He's working out these technical problems. Mm-hmm. There was a great transition out of when she says, well, how are they helping you? Yeah. It was kind of when he says, they're helping me. And the camera panned over to her single and she says, well, how are they helping you? Right. And then it cut back and he popped into a close up in the briefing room.
I so love it.
Was
it.
A great Mike Vahar transition.
Good job, Mike Vahar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's working out all these technical problems.
Yeah. Oh, and we see Janeway with her old bun of steel as well.
Yes. So, Janeway looks like the pilot with a bun of steel.
Yeah.
And basically he's trying to explain the problem to the Voyager holodeck crew. Mm-hmm. He's trying to produce enough power to form a singularity. And then suddenly by the questions they're asking and the conversation, he goes, wait, maybe we should think smaller.
Yes.
Compress this data stream, a micro wormhole.
Bing.
And there we go. And then somebody says, I didn't write down who. Oh, it was Janeway who says, you have outdone yourself this time, Reg. Whatever you need, you know, because Reg asked something like, you know, I'll need your help. And she goes, you've outdone yourself this time, Reg.
Yeah.
Whatever you need. Mm-hmm. It's such a different Janeway that I'm used to seeing.
You know? Yeah.
Anyway, we go to engineering and there's a cool opening shot of the camera kind of cranes up from the bottom of the warp core to find Barclay and Chakotay tossing this ball.
We've seen before. We've seen that ball before.
Well, when I saw it this time, I freeze framed it. The ball has all these little suckers on it. It's like the kind of ball that you would throw it at like a glass window or something. It would stick on the...
Yeah.
It's that kind of ball. But it looked... What did it look like to you? Did it remind you of anything?
No, I think we've used that ball before. And well, instead of suckers, they're springs is what they are on the outside to give it a
little extra. It is, it's all these little circular sucker things or something.
Oh, no, I think I know where you're going. What did it remind you of?
It looked like the COVID virus.
You were going to say that.
It was a COVID ball.
They were just tossing around a COVID ball back and forth.
It's nothing. Just a toy, just something to play with, a COVID ball. Stop playing with the COVID ball, guys.
So you don't remember seeing this ball before.
I right? don't, but okay, when I saw it now, I was like, freeze it, blow it up. What is that? It's a COVID ball.
We have actually had the COVID ball before. I'm almost positive that, yeah, because I said, oh, that ball. But now that you've put it into perspective, now I know that we have a new name for this.
Idea. Yeah. Maybe that's where it all started, was on our show.
Yes.
Back in the 90s.
Yeah, that's where it began. There you go. But I do, you know, I was watching that scene and I kept thinking, man, Robert Beltran, he must have had so much fun filming that scene because he is our resident jock. I mean, in terms of when he was in high school.
He loved to throw the football.
He was the quarterback. He was the high school quarterback. So he is the jockiest of all the Voyager actors. He, you know, he did a lot of sports when he was young. And for him to actually play throw and catch with another actor must have been
a scene.
Just, in a scene.
It was kind of their warp particles moment because they were sort of tossing it back and forth and like, what about this? And what about that? Narrow the band filter. And then he figures out we got to narrow the band filter in the transponder signal. And Chakotay goes, Barkley strikes again.
Yeah.
God, he's such a, he is the man, isn't he?
He is. Chakotay throws it one more time to Reg, instead of Reg catching it, it's Harkins who shows up and catches. Harkins is like a cat. Pooper. Harkins just shows up without you don't even hear him. He's like a
party
ninja.
Party pooper.
He pooped
he's
it.
A party pooper.
He pooped it. And he's, you know, he talks about Reg's struggles with holo addiction. He's like, okay, you've had the holo addiction struggle before, and now it seems like it's happening again. And Hawkins essentially takes Reg off of the Pathfinder project. He says, I'm sorry, the lab, the holodeck, all of this off limits to you. You no longer have authorization. And this is the end of your work on this project. And that hits Reg hard. He doesn't like it at all, clearly. The next shot or the next scene is in Admiral Paris's office.
Before we go to the next scene, I just want to point out another Mike Vahar run here. So that scene started with the crane down below, and you see all the people busy working.
Yep.
And it goes up
to the second.
And then when Harkins says something like delete. No, yeah, Harkins. Somebody says, maybe it's Reg, says delete characters because he wants, when Harkins shows up, he's like, delete holo characters. And so all the characters disappear, and it's just the two of them.
Right.
And then it cuts back to that wide shot down below again.
Yeah.
But you see nobody's there. Like it's a subtle little thing, but he opened with lots of life and activity.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Harkins shows up and they're just standing alone in this empty place. It was beautifully constructed. I like the shots.
Yeah. Good job, Mike Vahar, once again. Yes, all right. So now we are in Admiral Paris's office and we see Admiral Paris busy at work. His secretary
is he
Nicole,
busy? Is he busy? Because there's some plexiglass on his desk, literally just some clear plexiglass squares laid down on his desk. And he's talking, I guess, speakerphone to his secretary. And he's like touching the edge of the plexiglass and he says, I'm busy or something. He literally says, I'm busy, but I'm like, busy?
Is he busy?
What?
Is he really busy? Is he playing Angry Birds? What is he doing?
It's just a couple of squares of plexiglass. There's nothing on it. He's not even tapping like there's something on it that he's doing. He's just kind of touching the edge. It was long before iPhones, right? So none of us knew the kind of way you might play on touch screen things.
Yeah.
So Richard Hurd was just like rubbing the edge of it or something. What was he doing?
This feels silky.
Yes.
This is weird. Smooth. Yeah. Okay. So,
anyway, was he busy? I don't know.
Probably not. Nicole, the secretary, chimes in on the intercom saying that he won't go away. He's still here. Barkley is clearly a man on a mission. And of course, there is that shot where we see a picture of.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it. Clearly, it is a screenshot taken from the TNG episode First Duty of not Tom Paris, but
Nick Locarno.
Exactly.
I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. This is the conspiracy theory. This is why the whole thing is so confusing, because you guys cheated. They cheated.
They sure did.
Used a screen grab.
Yeah.
from a different character.
They sure did. And also, you know, you're looking, the image is of you kind of looking off to the side. And, yeah, you know, when most people, when they have pictures of their loved ones, you're looking at the camera smiling, right? Nope. So this was, again, clearly a screen grab. But the touching side of it is, again, it shows you there's no one else on that table in terms of pictures of there's only one photo on that tape on his desk,
unless and there's something on those plexiglass squares that he didn't see.
That's what it was his other son on that, on the plexiglass square. No, but it, you know, it just shows you that he does have his son in mind, and that Paris's idea of his father not liking him or caring for him is wrong. It's completely unfounded. It's a father's love for his son. It's very clear here. But of course, you and I were both pulled out. We were like, hey, that's Nick Locarno. That's not Tom Paris.
That's crazy.
Well, he finally allows Barkley to come in. So Nicole sends him in. Reg just wants one more day in the lab.
Yeah.
He feels like that extra day will give him the time to kind of work through all the formulas and be able to send this message to Voyager. And he even says to Admiral Paris, look, if you give me this day, and if I am proven wrong, I'm going to resign my commission. That's what I'll do. I'll just leave Starfleet.
I believe
entirely.
so much in this.
Yeah. He's all in poker terms. He is all in on this idea. And Admiral Paris finally says, okay, you know what? I'm going to order a review of your findings. And if there's any validity to this, if there's anything concrete in these theories that you have, I will instruct Commander Harkins to look into this further. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a half win.
It's, but he doesn't see it that way. Cause we go back to the apartment and Troy said, well, it went good. And
Kirk
was like, no, it didn't. He was just trying to get rid of me. And He says to Troy, like, why don't you call the Admiral?
Yeah.
Tell him that I'm psychologically fit for duty. Yeah. And Troy says, well, I can't do that.
Right.
He's like, you've got anxiety. You've got sleeplessness. You've got paranoia.
And he flips out. It's the Barkley yelling session at this point.
Yeah.
He's yelling and screaming and this and that. And then the final
he's saying, I'm the reason that I believe in this is because it's important, you know, these people.
Yeah.
And he starts to cry at one point.
Yes. He's very upset. And that very quote, upset. I wrote down his line. He says, that ship, that crew, they are all I have. And he then talks about how ever since he left Enterprise, things have not been the same. It's as if he lost his family. Troy says, oh, so then you created a new family on the holodeck with the Voyager crew. Mm-hmm. And Reg says, he just did not know how else to cope with this. This was his only way to cope. And she says, I'm going to stay here and help you. And he's like, no, but you're leaving tomorrow. I said, no, I'm going to ask Picard for a temporary leave of absence so I can be with a friend. And it was a nice touch.
Very sweet scene. Mm-hmm. Very sweet scene.
Yep.
We go to another sleeping scene. This is where the cat is sleeping with him.
Yep. The cat. He wakes up with Neelix on his chest. Yeah.
Wakes up with a cat on his chest, and he decides to leave, go to the holodeck, where the holodeck entrance computer says access denied. So he pulls a console off, hacks into it. Clearly, it's easy to hack around any access restrictions. You just need a magic tool. And he like turns on some light. It looks like a little pen light. And then he says, computer, reauthorize my access. And it works. So if anybody needs to like steal a ship or anything, like just get a pen light and open up a panel and you can just change all the authorization.
Change all the authorization codes.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. But that door is not the door to the holodeck. That's the door to the lab.
To the lab. Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very funny. He basically hotwires the door, gets in.
Yeah.
And he starts doing all he needs to do to, he says, basically he's there to actually send the message is what he's doing. So he sets everything up, connects the Midas array.
Turns it up to full power, directs a 60 terawatt tachyon beam at the itinerant pulsar. And then it will be, it seems he asked the computer, how long will this take? And it's the computer says 17 minutes to create a micro wormhole.
Yeah.
And then the computer says affirmative, wormhole has been created. So his theories were right. All of this,
they were
at least up and, you know, at least to create the wormhole.
Yeah.
So he's got the micro wormhole. And he sends the trajectory towards the Delta Quadrant to one of the quadrants that they were talking about earlier.
That's right. Because they, they don't know which quadrant. They have a guess of where
they have three. Where we're at, that's right? What they said before.
Not which quadrant,
three.
Which sector, excuse me.
Sector, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's three.
Yes.
And then Harkins enters.
Harkins. Party pooper Harkins interrupts. Mm-hmm. And he's there with two security personnel. Mm-hmm. And at that point, Reg sort of feigns defeat, right? He's like, you win, fine. And then quickly says, computer, transfer all controls to the Voyager holiday program. Blah, blah, blah. And so he runs out of there. He
runs out.
Yeah, they're chasing after him. And now we're in the Voyager's hallway. He comes across Tuvok. He's like, oh, Tuvok, did you see those two gentlemen? And Tuvok's like, what? No, I didn't see them. They're dressed like Starfleet security, but they're not. And so
they're intruders.
Yeah, they're intruders that Tuvok is on it, right? So Holo Tuvok ends up basically setting up force fields around where the two Starfleet security personnel are, and he, you know, kind of immobilizes them. Yeah, he traps them
in a little corner, turn in the hallway.
Yeah, and they, you know, those security personnel then they kind of hail Harkins, and they say, "Listen, you need to try to shut down the program. We're stuck here in the force fields." And Harkins tries; he cannot shut down the program. He cannot. Everything he tries, there are security encryptions that Reg has placed on there. Reg is going to do this. Yeah, he is. So Harkins calls for more security. And at this point, Reg runs into engineering, where B'Elanna in her Maquis garb is. And he tells her what's going on, and he needs to do this and that. And at this point, Harkins enters. And he has a brilliant idea of how to stop this whole thing. And I think Reg runs out of the room to escape.
He does. Harkins. He runs out. So, well, B'Elanna fires at them, but it does nothing to them.
Yeah, like, that's right.
She fires at the security team.
That's right.
And they're like, you know, there's safety protocols in this holodeck. You can't hurt us.
Yeah. Oh, and that's so, right. Okay. I confused that a little bit. So basically it wasn't Harkins that first came in. It was the additional security that he had called. They come in, and that's when B'Elanna tries to fire at them. It doesn't do anything. And they chase Reg up into Jeffrey's tube, and he seals one of the compartments, and he keeps going on. So he loses them. But then it does cut back into engineering when Harkins does come in.
Yep.
And he says to the computer, primary coolant system, disengage them. And that's when B'Elanna says, that's going to cause a warp core breach. He's like, yep. And as she runs towards him, he phasers your beloved.
she fritzes out.
Yeah.
Bye, it's very sad. Yeah. I wasn't that sad because she's just a holodeck.
So it didn't bother you as much as Burke, right? Burke is still someone that kind of bothered you.
Totally bothered me. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Burke's trouble. Basically, Harkins is melting down the warp core. Yeah. So he's going to end this program one way or the other.
One way or the other. And so finally, Red shuts down everything.
Holo Janeway even says to all personnel, abandon ship.
That's right.
10 seconds till warp core breach. Right. And there's a countdown.
Right.
And finally, yes, Reg.
Well, Reg says goodbye though to Janeway, which is a little sad too. He was like, you know, this is goodbye. And then
he says computer end program.
Yeah. Ends the whole thing.
And then, so he ends it. So we feel like, oh, Reg has been defeated.
Yeah.
But then we go to a flyby of the real Voyager. Yes. Like, we haven't seen a flyby of the real Voyager yet because we've only been on the Holo Voyager.
Correct.
It's the first time we're seeing the real Voyager. So we see a flyby, and then we go into astrometrics, and Neelix is coming in for his singing lessons with Seven.
He comes
in with his arms going. He's like, I'm so excited. I've been practicing. And she says, practicing is irrelevant.
Yeah. And you got his line?
No, I don't know.
Oh, he says, but I sound so good in the sonic shower. Yeah. And she goes, well, maybe that's where you should keep your practice.
She says,
then. Just stay there.
She says, maybe you should confine your singing to that location. And then, so there's the whole funny bit about Neelix's singing, which I love.
Yeah.
It's such a weird.
It's so weird,
but it was so funny.
It was funny.
And then suddenly Seven's like, wait a minute. There's a beeping.
Yep.
She detects a micro wormhole has
That's
opened
right.
With a message. So
and
she
a message.
Calls, yeah, she calls the bridge. And Janeway says, Harry, take a listen to this.
Yeah. Because it's on a Starfleet emergency channel. So that's why everyone's interest is perked. We're like, what?
Yep.
Harry plays the message. It's super staticky. So she asks Harry to apply a narrowband filter to the signal processor, which he does. Now we hear Barkley's voice much clearer. And he's saying, you know, this is Lieutenant Barkley and Tuvok. But that's all. We only have a little quick snippet of
the
message. It's over. Tuvok says the micro wormhole is collapsing at a rate of 0.2% per second.
Per second.
That's very fast. So yep. Janeway says, well, we only have a little bit of time to get a message back. So we cut back to the Pathfinder lab where Admiral Paris enters and tells
Harkins. Barkley's being detained.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He tells Harkins that he wants to give Barkley's plan a shot to attempt sending this message. And Harkins says, look, Barkley already tried it without authorization. It didn't work. And as Admiral Paris sort of ponders what to do with Barkley, because Harkins says, well, what do we do with him now? He's done
And Reg is apologizing too. He's like, I'm sorry. Like a failure.
I really
thought it was going to work.
He's super bummed. And an alarm beeps. And that's when we hear that a message is coming in from the wormhole. And Reg is the one who gets to talk with Janeway. Mm-hmm. And Janeway says she's basically in this conversation. Janeway says she is transmitting the ship's logs, crew reports, and navigational records to Starfleet headquarters. So they have that. Barkley quickly adds that they are going to send data on this hyper subspace technology with the hope that they will be able to use this to keep in regular contact with Voyager. Also, there are some recommended modifications for Voyager's comm system that Starfleet headquarters will be sending there. And then Barkley says there's someone else who'd also like to say something. And at this point, I started crying like a baby. And it was just like, I was sitting there and Megan was like, are you crying? I go, yes, stop it. Don't interrupt. And I was sitting here just bawling. And when he said, when Admiral Paris starts talking,
he says, and, yeah, tell my son that I miss him.
Yeah, tell him I miss him. He goes, tell him I miss him and that I'm proud of him and I could not hold it together and I'm not holding it together now. This is the worst. Okay.
Tom is just speechless.
That's the thing. What really threw me into major tears was your reaction, because you did play it the way that it should have been played, which was like you're just shocked. You're shocked.
Like,
and you're
did
also
not expect this no, from you my didn't. Father. This is not no. what I thought, how I thought he felt. And Janeway puts a hand on Tom's shoulder. Janeway says to the Admiral, he says, this crew has been exemplary. Tom included, your son included.
Yeah.
And the Admiral says, well, tell him I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
And Tom is just listening in silence there. And Janeway says, he heard you.
Yeah.
And I want to assure you that he heard you. And then the Admiral assures Janeway that Starfleet is doing everything it can to, and then the connection is lost.
Yeah. And it's lost.
Just in the middle of their conversation. That's all we're going to get.
Yeah. Now we're back in the Pathfinder lab. Admiral Paris looks over at Reg and he says, why the long face, Reg? And Reg is like, well, because it's over. And Admiral Paris says, no, Project Voyager is just beginning. And it's just, you know, it's a nice moment there. And Harkins also said, I'm so sorry for doubting you for this entire time. And see, even just talking about that scene. Did you have any emotion at that point at all?
I mean, but not as much as you. I know.
It had nothing to do with my character. It was just you. But, you know, maybe just over the years, my friendship with Tom has just affected my, you know, subconscious to the point where
it's a sweet moment. It is a very sweet moment.
But the point being is that I know what was coming with that episode. I was like, problem. But the minute he started saying that and the look on your face, Tom Paris's face, it pushed me over the edge and I couldn't stop it. And
it's a pretty, such a small part of the episode.
Yeah.
And I think one reason it's so effective is because the real story, the A story, is that Reginald Barkley feels like he doesn't matter, that nobody cares about him, that nobody sees him, that he's not important. And so in a weird way, it's on story, the Tom Admiral Paris moment.
Yeah,
it's just a tiny moment, but it's a way to connect Barkley's story of feeling like, finally I'm being seen. Finally, right. I'm feeling a connection.
And it's the same struggle that Tom Paris has with Pamela Paris.
It's a very same thing. So it's I think it's not just that moment living in a vacuum. It's that moment happens in the middle of such an effective story with Reginald Barclay. It's a great moment. I love that it moved you.
Well, and I think it moved me because it resonated with me because, you know, growing up in America as not Caucasian has been very difficult, especially living in the South. And really, that's also the same parallel with me. It's like, you know, I living in the South, having people call me names, looking at me as a second class, third class citizen, made me also feel like I'm not important.
Not seen, not heard.
Yeah, I'm not seen at all or heard. So I think that's probably what pushed me over the edge was I had the same parallel as Reg Barclay and as Tom Paris in my real life. And so that's probably why it's been so emotional for me to watch this episode. It's just crazy. Oh,
buddy.
I know. Okay. I hope there's one episode where you ball too. So
I'm sure. Yes.
Okay. Now we are in back in the mess hall. Yes.
We're in the mess hall. There's a champagne celebration.
Yeah.
Torres, Bellana asks if anybody knows who Barclay is.
That's right.
And the doctor replies that he reviewed the personnel file and basically says he's a very colorful character with an unusual medical history, transporter phobia, and holo addiction.
Now, we don't know anything about transporter phobia. That's insane that somebody would be so freaked out about what is an everyday technology for anyone in Starfleet. We transport everywhere. Like, no, it's like breathing, right?
Yeah.
And for Reg to have this phobia, but it just goes to show you, phobia can happen at any moment to anybody, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But Janeway is very happy that Barclay came through for them, and Seven tells everyone that she's finished analyzing all of the hypersubspace technology data and that it looked very promising to help them on their trip home.
Yeah.
And they basically say that we can look forward to hopefully some regular contact with Starfleet and with people back home in the future.
Yeah.
And Neelix says, well, let's have a toast. And he suggests that Tom do the honors. And so Tom toasts here. He says, to my dad, it's nice to know that he's still there. And to the newest honorary member of the Voyager crew, Reginald Barclay.
Whoever you are.
So it's funny how the real Voyager crew has sort of gotten the same affection for Reg Barclay as the holodeck.
Exactly.
Wow, we sort of are really taking a moment to see him and honor him and recognize him. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool, which then makes me feel like, man, they never showed what, you know, if you think about the last episode of this show. It'd be amazing if we got down to Earth and we saw Reginald Barclay there. You know, there's so many things that could have been touched upon that were not, but I'm jumping so much farther ahead.
Don't jump there. Okay. We have almost a year till we get to
the end. So. That's right. Okay.
Final scene. Troy's in the apartment again. She congratulates him and he says that he couldn't have done it without her.
Yeah.
And Commander Harkins, we learn is very, very pleased. Although he's a little concerned now that Barclay is dating his sister-in-law.
So
he did end up meeting the sister-in-law from Boston. And she's like, she wants details. And he says, well, one thing I can tell you is her name is Hope.
I love that line.
Yeah.
One thing to tell you, her name is Hope. That's a great line.
Her name is Hope. And she loves cats, which is pretty important. So
that's the animals, not the Broadway play. Which you are not a fan of. We know that already.
Not the musical.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's the end of our wonderful episode.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What is your theme?
You know, I had a different theme, but now that we've kind of fleshed this out and talked about it, the theme is everybody matters. Everybody has value, you know, and that I'm going to go with that because of how much this moved me. And thank you for helping me explore that and understand what the parallels were with Tom Paris and Reginald Barclay and myself in this episode. So
I love that theme. Everyone does matter.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Everyone matters.
Did you have a different one or did you, how were you?
No, I think I almost switched my theme too, but I'll go with my original theme just because I think it's a part of it, which is don't give up on your gut. Don't give up on your hunches or your instincts. We all have some inner voice that's telling us something. It doesn't mean it's always right.
Right.
But don't give up on it because maybe it is right.
Or maybe your theme was listen to your gut, right? Listen to that inner voice because a lot of times it will guide you in the correct direction. Yeah. Even though everyone else is going in the opposite direction, your gut sometimes knows best. Or not what's even best sometimes. For you. Your gut always knows best. You just have to listen
knows,
to it.
It knows what's best for you
at
that moment. And
yes.
And listen to yourself, listen to where you're at emotionally and trust yourself.
There you go.
My rating for this episode, I really like this episode, even though it didn't really have a lot of us involved for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to give it an 8.2.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I thought it was really well done. Mike Vahar did a great job. Dwight did a great job. Our guest stars were great. The story was really interesting. So 8.2 for me.
That's a good one. I'm going to go with 8.8. So I'm going to push it higher just because of how much this resonated with me. I'm going to go higher. And yes, you're right. Didn't include a lot of the crew, a lot of the main gang, but it's okay. I mean, it's okay.
Sometimes it doesn't have to follow the rules.
I think it can still be good. Yes. I think it was a well-written episode and by Ken Biller and the classmate of his, who I've already forgotten his name.
Zabel.
Yes. So I think it was a well-written episode and I think it was directed well by Mike Vahar, acted well by the main person in this episode, which is Dwight Schultz.
Dwight did a phenomenal job.
As he always does. So yes. 8.8 for me.
8.8 for you, 8.2 for me. The Admiral and Captain's average rating for Pathfinder is 8.1.
Woo!
Wow. Yeah. I got pretty close. You're the one that's nailing it.
Yeah.
But you went with your heart on this.
I went with my heart. Yeah, because a lot of times, I mean, we've had some feedback from some of our listeners and that they would rather me rate it according to what I feel as opposed to what I think. Because I've been kind of guessing very well, I might add, what the actual come out is the actual rating is from the captains and admirals. So from my heart, I'm going to give 8.8, but what did the fans give?
8.1.
Yeah. Still a good rating overall.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you everyone for tuning in to this episode of the Delta Flyers, where Robbie and I talked about Pathfinder and I got overly emotional, but we will be back next week talking about one of the all-time favorites of many fans, the episode Fairhaven. So
that'll be fun.
Okay we will be back for that, and for all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material.
Thanks everybody.